Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Yesterday on this program, we focused on sensationalism in the news, sensationalism in weather reporting, and really sensationalism in nearly every part of modern media. And we concluded that sensationalism is basically dishonest reporting designed to create fear, division, or paralysis, but that Christians and others can guard themselves against being swept up in sensationalism and the frequent resulting in fear and debilitation by knowing the truth and thinking with a biblical worldview. Now, on the other hand, God's word, the Bible, is a book of warning, a message of justice against sin, but always accompanied by love and the promise of redemption through Jesus Christ. So the Bible is also a book of love too, but redemption is not really viewed as necessary or valuable until one understands the desperate and fearful reality of sin and death and the wrath of God against evil. Now on the program here, as preachers, as hosts here on Stand in the Gap Today, our message and the message of really all in positions of authority must include relating not just God's love, but God's warnings, his prophecy of coming events that are all part of his justice against sin in a fallen world. And that should cause us to run to God for strength and security. There can be no real love without warning. So all through the Old Testament, the practice of each city having a watchman to look out into the horizon for coming enemies to sound the alarm, it was a common thing. The prophet Isaiah and Ezekiel were both called to be watchmen and to blow the trumpet of warning. Not sensationalization, but the truth. Yet God himself says in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So ultimately, God is our ultimate protector, but we are to be watchful. So today we're going to sound an alarm, to blow a trumpet, so to speak, but not to be sensational or to strike sinful fear, but to warn of what's happening around us in the area of surveillance, the surveillance state, and how it ties into biblical prophecy and how we as Christians should respond. And with that introduction, I'd like to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined by Evangelist Dave Kistler, president of our North Carolina Pastors Network, and Dr. Gary Dahl, executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And our special guest, and I would say without fear of dispute, the world's leading authority on the matter of surveillance and technology that's in place that fulfills biblical prophecy and world control that's all involved in all of that, and someone who knows the Lord as well and has thought this whole thing through. His name is Mark Lerner. And he's the co-founder of the Constitutional Alliance and Stop Real ID. And with that, I want to welcome back to the program here again, Mark Lerner. Are you there, Mark?
Sam, it's a pleasure to be back on the phone with you.
Well, Mark, we've got a lot to cover today in this program. We're glad that you are here, and a lot of things have been happening. And so you're going to have to, I know you present hours of material, so we're going to have to pray that you can condense it down, and we're going to try to be concise in our thinking here as well. But the general theme that I've made for today is this: consequences of the surveillance state. What can we do? So I want to encourage our listeners to visit your site, Mark, for greater information. And folks, you can do that by going to constitutionalalliance.org. But Mark, let me start here first by identifying this. You have said that ultimately a functioning global surveillance system can't really happen. And prophecy and scripture talks about that ultimately coming forth under the rule of the Antichrist. But the goal of the globalists around the world in the area of economics and the financial world, and of course in media and communications, they're already trying to pull all kinds of information together. But you've identified and said that in order for it to be a functional world global governance system, there had to be three components that were in place. Could you identify those three, please?
Yes. The three components are all people would have to be enrolled into this global system. Number two, there would have to be international standards applied to the collection, in this case, of people's biometrics. Biometrics are simply fingerprinting, facial recognition, hair scan, DNA. You would need to adopt international standards for the collection, retention, and sharing of biometrics. And then three, create and link databases globally. And that is being done today.
Mark, let me ask you this. These three things that you've come up with, how did you arrive at these three? I mean, is this something that is stated specifically somewhere within documentation, you know, that has been written by globalists? Is this something that you extracted or drew from the scriptures, or is this just common sense?
Well, actually, when it comes to prophecy, we should always start with scripture. And what you do is you read the Bible, you read the word, and then you look to see in the world what is fulfilling what is prophesied in scripture. You don't do it the other way around. So that's what I did. I started with scripture and then looked at government publications, spoke to government leaders all over the world, and was able to understand all three components to create a global system that would allow all people to be in this system to both identify them and have control over their ability to buy and sell were in fact in place.
And so, Mark, as you indicate that you start with scripture, twofold question here. Number one, can you take each one of these three elements and support them from a scriptural basis? Is that what you were saying? And then secondly, if so, how close are we to seeing all of these components come into fruition in the day in which we live?
Yes, I started with, of course, Revelation 13, 15 through 18, which is a point where we're told people will worship the Antichrist and accept the mark of the beast, and this system would control your ability to buy and sell. We have government documents that actually state the international standards used by every country in the world. As far as how far along is this? 80% of the world's population is already in this system. The last 20% will be in the system, according to the World Bank and the United Nations, by 2030 at the latest.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today, our special guest, Mark Lerner, the theme, Consequences of the Surveillance State. What can we do? And he decided three components that have to be in place. Those components are enroll all people, adopt international standards, and create and link databases globally. When we come back in the next segment, right after this break, we're going to continue with Mark, and we're going to talk about the reality of the surveillance state. We're going to look at each one of these three components and find out how far along they actually are and how we can recognize them. So stay with us. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
The Bible talks about a coming day when the march of mankind away from God will lead them into slavery under what the Bible calls the man of lawlessness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion comes first and that man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Well, that man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is not everywhere present like God is. He's not omnipresent. So unlike God, he must seek to artificially control every person in the world, to force their choice of him as God and to reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as God, or to face certain death. That's ultimately what's going to be happening. The Bible tells us that. The prize is the souls of men for whom Jesus died. As we are celebrating this weekend with crucifixion and the resurrection, God loves each person. The devil hates every person because he hates God. It's that simple. So the ability to track every person, to ultimately link all financial and economic transactions necessary for life and living into linking it to worshiping him as is his goal. And that's the goal of the globalists. The Bible calls this perfected surveillance system the mark of the beast in a general sense. It is. But what it describes is a total global surveillance state. Now, if you just Google the words global biometric enrollment, just Google that sometime, ladies and gentlemen, and you will find an enormous amount of information on the status of the global surveillance state, more than you can imagine. Now, to help us define further where we are, I want to invite back in now Mark Lerner. He's co-founder of Constitutional Alliance, which you can find at constitutionalalliance.org. And in this segment, our sub-theme is going to be the reality of the surveillance state. Now, Mark, earlier you identified the three components necessary for a functioning global surveillance state: enroll all people, adopt international standards, and create a linked global database. I want to look at all of these in this section here in a little bit more detail, but I want you to go here first. Enroll all people. Define, if you could, first of all, enrolled in what? What is the only technology adopted internationally that really permits total global enrollment and successful surveillance at the individual level? What is that? Define that first, and I want to follow up with you with how far along we are.
Okay, simply put, biometrics, facial recognition, fingerprinting, etc. The standards for the collection, retention, and sharing of biometrics originate with an international organization called the International Organization of Standardization. They are found in, for instance, the Real ID Act, where it cites ISO document 19794-5. Now, these are international standards adopted by every country, and the surveillance takes place through what we call facial recognition. Whether it's surveillance cameras, drones, etc., you can be identified, located, and followed any place in the world.
All right, and that's interesting, Mark. I look right now, front page on Drudge Today. China is using artificial intelligence and facial recognition to fine jaywalkers via text, actually facially monitoring everybody on the street. And if they jaywalk, their big picture goes up on a gigantic screen on the intersection so everybody can see who the bad boy is. And they receive a text on their cell phone because they're connected with social media that tells them they have violated the law and can actually fine them in process on their phone. They're now fined by government, tracking every little thing. Mark, that's what you're talking about, facial recognition, tracking to that level. Now, let me go here as we go through, just because of time perspective, what percentage, you already gave it, but what percentage of the world's population is right now already biometrified, we'd call that? How much of the world already has their face registered and in a computer base somewhere? And when will it be, you know, approximating 99 or 100%?
The answer is 80% of the world's population. And to put it in perspective, in India, where you have over 1.5 billion people, roughly, 90 to 95% of the people in India are in it. In China, the people are in it. In Russia, in our own country, Europe, the 55 or 57 countries in Africa, Latin America. So we're talking about literally 8 out of every or 9 out of every 10 countries in the world. And in those countries, 90 to 95% of their population.
You know, Mark, just about a month and a half ago, I suppose it was, I went to the land of India, the nation of India. And I had some difficulties getting in. Sam and Dave know about that. And so I went in through an e-visa. And when I got the information back from India, it said right on the e-visa that in going into India, I may be registered through biometrics. They may use biometrics to let me into the country. Now, that's the first time I've ever seen that personally on a application for a visa or whatever the case may be. And I just thought it would be interesting to bring it up that apparently I have been identified through that when going into India. But let's go on to your second component that you speak about here and involves the adoption of international standards. And, you know, we're living in a day and age when getting world governments, and particularly the major governments of the world, powers of the world, like the United States and European Union and China and India and Russia and others, to agree on anything is pretty hard to do. But my question is, as it relates to this then, is have they come to an agreement on the international standards for biometric enrollment?
Yes, all countries have. And the reason is, despite what we're told, biometrics give every government more and more control over their population because they're able to know who people are, where they're at, who they are associating with, what churches they go to, etc.
Mark, let me ask you this. The last component you identified as being a part of this three-step process is creating a global database. Now, with all the concerns that we're watching almost daily in the news with cyber hacking and, of course, the divisions and the hostility between major world powers and their databases, you know, people hacking into those, it would appear to me that at this point, it would be a difficult thing to establish a global database. But it sounds like what you're saying is it's not difficult at all. So how is this taking place and how is it going to continue to develop?
Okay. The system itself, the telecommunication network, is called the International Public Safety and Justice Network. Some call it International Public Safety and Justice Sharing Network. The point is, this network reaches all countries. And Interpol, which 190-plus countries belong to in the world, they use their system, another telecommunication system, as well as the International Public Justice and Information Sharing System.
Mark, I find it interesting that it's called Public and Justice Sharing. Yet I look at this and I say there's a whole lot of justice coming out of this, but you can comment on that. But again, come back into it. You've made it clear that each nation has their own distinct advantages for wanting to be a part of this, because they're able to control their own people, just like I cited China is doing in a very real way, catching jaywalkers walking across the street and sending them a text. They're monitoring them that closely. So any totalitarian country, you can understand why they would want something of this type. But the linking of the database, is there actually a linked database? I mean, how are they linked? And does that not pose with it immense, immense concerns?
They're linked through law enforcement databases, intelligence databases throughout the world. And the guise, the deceit is that this was developed to identify terrorists. But the fact of the matter, each country defines for themselves who they believe is a potential terrorist. So, for instance, in our country, our government has talked about veterans, evangelical Christians, a number of people that we wouldn't think of as suspected or potential terrorists have been identified in our country as potential terrorists. In China, of course, they're looking for dissidents, and they refer to those people as terrorists. So the guise for the control is really saying we're trying to protect you from terrorism.
But it comes back, like we say, ladies and gentlemen, all the time, define your terms. Define your terms. A terrorist to one person may be a Christian. You want a big deal. So, and as we continue on this, the surveillance state, the consequence of surveillance state, what can we do? When we come back, we're going to pick up and say, why isn't there a greater concern? If all this is true and it's known and it's linked worldwide, why don't we know and why isn't there a greater concern? We'll talk about that when we come back in just a few moments.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us right now on Stand in the Gap today, we welcome you back. And if you're just joining us new, you're stepping into the middle of an exciting program of which you will not hear what we're talking about anywhere else in the nation. We're talking about consequences of the surveillance state. What can we do? But we're looking at it from a biblical perspective, and we're going to end up this program talking about the Christian response. You are not going to want to miss it. And I want to suggest as well, if you have not done so, go to our website, pick up at standinthegapradio.com. You can pick up all of our archives, forward them along when you listen there to your friends on Facebook. If you are finding these programs to be valuable and helpful, which we know so many are, tell a friend. In these days when truth is so hard to find, it's important when you find the truth, and we give it to you on this program. We give it to you balanced, and we give it to you truthfully. Take it, share it with your friends, help them to understand perhaps what they're also struggling with, and that is how to make sense out of all this confusion. Well, on this matter of surveillance, we're going to go back into that issue here right now. The rapid expansion of broad-based surveillance of necessity means an invasion of privacy. Now, that's my statement. I believe that I don't think you can have it without having an invasion of privacy. The recent revelations and investigations into Facebook, as an example, that's going on right now, and the usage of data placed on Facebook to be used for political purposes or all kinds of other purposes is just one recent example, and it's unfolding as we speak. The personal experience of many, maybe many listening to the program right now, where you've perhaps had your credit card numbers hacked or Social Security number or other things hacked. It's a common occurrence. We know that. In March 2010, now this is 8 years ago, 2010, the AP had an article posted on NBC News, carried it. The title said this: the feds are on Facebook and MySpace, LinkedIn, and Twitter, too. It said this: U.S. law enforcement agents are following the rest of the internet world into popular social networking services, going undercover with false online profiles to communicate with suspects and others and to gather private information, according to an internal Department of Justice document that offers a tantalizing glimpse of issues related to privacy. And it goes on to say, think you know who's behind that, in quote, friend request regarding to Facebook? It says, think again. Your new, quote, friend just might be the FBI. That was the article. But then some time ago, I heard an FBI spokesman broadly thank, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, the American public for being so open because they've allowed the fleshing out of databases with information, personally identified information about people, their children, their grandchildren, where they live, where they go. And all of this is being put in database, and they say, we never would have had the money to get it, and we never could have spent the time to get it, but you gave it to us for free. Thank you. And I look at all this and I say, why isn't there any more concern? Why don't we know about these things? We're going to talk about that now with Mark Lerner, co-founder of Constitutional Alliance, which you can find at constitutionalalliance.org. Mark, when I started the last segment, I read from the book of 2 Thessalonians, where it talked about the man of lawlessness coming forth, emerging from the sea of humanity through deception, and the Apostle Paul's warning not to be deceived. And Mark, I marvel at the seeming lack of concern about all the massive invasion of privacy. And I go here and I think all these people posting all these things on Facebook. And yet, Mark, I wonder, why is there so little concern? I'm just going to start right out with that. Why isn't there more concern about something that could be so potentially harmful?
The simplest answer is we're confusing lifestyle with freedom. Every time the government tells us if we use these technologies like smart cards with RFID chips or biometrics, it makes our life more convenient. We can go through airport lines quicker. We can get into sports events easier. We can get into concerts. The government is checking identification now in almost everything that we do in our lives. So they tell us by using these technologies, it's actually more convenient for us, thus giving us more time to do other things in our life that we might enjoy. And we are warned in 1 Corinthians about this. God clearly tells us, do not grumble as some of them have been destroyed by the angel. But the point is, God tells us in 1 Corinthians, if we are tempted, he will provide us with a way to escape or endure. We are tempted because we're confusing lifestyle with freedom to accept these technologies, not understanding we are really only truly free in Christ, not with man.
Mark, let me ask you this. A number of years ago, I was, let me just word it this way. My personal accounts were stolen. My identity was stolen. Someone got hold of credit card information. And it was a nightmare to try to get all that corrected. It took an exorbitant amount of effort and time to do so. And just the thought of that occurring again to me is something I would do everything in my power to keep from happening again. But when it comes to theft of personal information, very valuable information that Sam alluded to that can even occur on this social media platform called Facebook, we tend not to be bothered by that. We don't get as upset as somebody stealing our credit card information. Why is that? I mean, you've alluded to it in your last statement. This lifestyle we live is certainly part of it, but is there other things that's keeping the American public from being outraged about what's taking place?
Yes. And the answer is nobody ever believes it's being or happening to them. It's very similar to what I call the camera is pointed at you. When we walk by surveillance cameras in our country, we always think the cameras are pointed at the bad guys, and we don't consider they're actually pointed at everybody. And what Sam was talking about in China, actually, if you understand what intelligent streetlights are, these are coming to the United States, they are equipped with surveillance cameras and microphones. So the same thing you see in China about littering, you're going to see that in the United States over the next year or two.
You know, Mark, I can remember years ago someone saying that with the development of the cable television system, that we would find that people could intrude right into our living rooms. And, of course, I don't doubt that a bit. And, of course, since that has developed, of course, you know, technology has developed to the point that it's even worse than that. And, I mean, you know, you talk about the fact, who knows how many cameras we pass each and every day that registers where we are and what we are doing. And, I mean, nobody probably really does know that. But, you know, yesterday in the program, we talked about recognizing false sensationalism that's in the news. And we told people not to be alarmed at what we see and what we read when it's put out there across the nation. And yet, I can believe that there are probably people listening to us right now who are saying, well, what you guys are talking about on the radio today is sensational, not realizing that we're not putting forth fake news here. We're putting forth real news that is potentially fatal to every one of us. I mean, this developing technology and having the ability to track every person is something that we really need to be concerned about. So my question to you is, what will it take to wake up people generally and Christians specifically to this issue that we're facing today and that we're talking about on this program?
What it's going to take are ministries such as yours, such as our ministry at the Constitutional Alliance, to educate pastors and members of the body of Christ. The bottom line is this: with knowledge comes responsibility. So we can warn people of what is to come. In 15 years, I've never had one word that I've testified to before state legislators or back in Washington been refuted. But the fact is, with knowledge comes responsibility. Christians have to understand that responsibility to prepare and warn people of what is coming, that is not optional. That is being obedient to God. When a watchman tells you what is coming, and for 15 years plus, that watchman has been 100% correct. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to listen to the watchman and warn others.
Mark, you only have about 15 seconds, but the question I hear all the time is people say, listen, if you're not doing something wrong, what does it matter? How do you answer that?
It matters because it's not just you, the person. They're looking at your family and your friends, and maybe some of them have done things that are embarrassing that can be leveraged by companies or the government. It's not just always about the individual.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is an intense discussion. It's not sensational from the standpoint of not true. It should be alarming because it is true. There's a biblical component. We've tried to lay it out. When we come back, we're going to say, what is the Christian response to all of these facts, to the surveillance state? Two recommendations we're going to put forward. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Messiah rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who cometh in the name of the Lord." But the envious Pharisees said, "The world is gone after him," and they plotted against him. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. This Easter week is all about the promised Redeemer, Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God giving his life to pay a debt he never owed because we had a debt we could never pay. But as it's always been, so it is today. Some by faith alone accept Jesus as Savior and receive eternal life. Others reject him by trying some other way and sadly choose eternal death. Could I invite you to stand with us and commit to faithfully sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Redeemer? Join with us by adding your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Our discussion today has been pointed. I know that. It's been very serious. These kind of things are hard to talk about. It's good to talk about the fun stuff and all of that. But again, as we said at the beginning, being a watchman on the wall, warning, as God warns through the Word of God, we have to do that as well. And so that's what this program is today. And we focus on the issues, the news of the day, from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We try to weep with those who weep. We pray for those like the persecuted church, where we've done programs about that, where they are around the world. We talk about and we extend our prayer and our help as best we can to those who are victims of natural disaster or wherever there is a need. We call out the greatness of God as sovereign creator, Jesus Christ as the promised Redeemer and the hope of the world. We warn of the wolves. We try to care for the sheep like a good shepherd does. We emphasize that we're not to have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Yet, where God raises a warning, and he does, we try to do so as well, such as the program today. Now, in this last segment, we want to conclude this, as we call it, a solution segment, as we try to take the essence of this program, the reality of the surveillance state, the fact that it's so much right at hand, and put it into a practical application. Mark, I want to go to you in this solution segment here now. You recently sent out a letter to many of your friends in which you summarized the information that we've shared today on this program. You made the statement that this system, this surveillance system, with its ability to fulfill the mark of the beast and the lawless man to track the world and to force everyone into his system if they want to buy or sell, and ultimately, he's trying to do to force their worship of the Antichrist. You're basically saying in this program that that's really almost totally in place. You also stated that regardless of our efforts to oppose the system, in the letter you said this, that we're all in the system already as it sits. And even on this program, we've been going back and forth on text, talking about how cameras here and cameras there click our pictures every day. We're a part of it. Yet we know that what we're talking about here today is not yet the mark of the beast, because that man of sin, the Antichrist, that Paul talked about, has not yet been revealed. But we're close. So let's conclude with the recommendations you would put forth here. Knowing these things, the reality of the surveillance state, the adoption of international standards, the creating of a global database, knowing that the ultimate prize is the souls of men, how should we as Christians and concerned citizens respond to these kinds of pieces of information that we're talking about today? What should be our primary response?
Number one, we need to get back to the Word of God and understand Romans 13. Too many Christians believe Romans 13 says we are to obey authority. Actually, what it actually says is, we are to subject ourselves to authority. We have examples in the book of Acts where the apostles, against the wishes of the Pharisees, continued to go out and preach the gospel. When Herod wanted all the children, males under two, killed, we know that people took their children and all the children under two were not killed. The bottom line is we are to be obedient to God in all cases, even when it comes to government. So what should we do? A, we should voice our objection to this global system of biometrics, which includes identification and financial control. Two, we have to slow this system down with court challenges, et cetera. And the Constitutional Alliance is doing that, not just in the United States, but helping Christians around the world do it in their own countries. And three, we need to carve out a religious exemption under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that would allow Christians, based on their sincerely held religious beliefs, to be exempt from being in this system.
Mark, that last statement that you just made is an incredibly practical approach that every Christian could certainly be a part of. When you talk about resisting this on a more general basis, how do we go about doing that? I know we encourage from time to time people on this program to contact a senator, congressman, voice their opposition to something or support for something. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about, or is it something even more specific than that?
I would recommend that, but I would tell you the Constitutional Alliance is the only organization, Christian, in the entire world. We work with people in over 50 countries that focuses specifically on the Word of God and how biometrics is going to be the fulfillment of Revelation 13, 15 through 18. So what I would tell people, yes, contact your local, state, and federal officials. Let them know you object to mandated global biometric enrollment, but also support ministries such as ours that are focused on just this issue. We're told in the book of Luke there are three parables. The parables each say essentially the same thing. God cares about every person and soul. So we have a responsibility to go to non-believers using biblical prophecy to show the dependability of the Word of God. But as importantly, to warn these people that when the Antichrist is revealed and the mark of the beast is present, do not accept it. If you do, we are told in Revelation, you will be condemned to eternal damnation. Our job as Christians is to save souls. So yes, preaching the gospel, making disciples is important, but it's equally important to make sure we warn people what it means when you lose your soul and you suffer eternal damnation.
Mark, I think what you're laying out there is where we want to end this program. As you said, there is a role for the pulpit. You've made it clear, and we talk about it a lot. Knowing prophecy is critically important, being able to put these things together and to tie together God's purpose through the plan of redemption. It comes down to the souls of men. That's what this Easter season is all about, Christ coming to die. But people need to know that these warnings that are happening should drive people to the Lord where freedom alone exists. Gary, could I ask you right now to take us to the Lord in prayer, pray for these things. And again, our people need wisdom and our pastors and our pulpits need boldness.
I remember years ago, somebody did a survey that said that there are 64 people watching everybody every day, that you're seen by 64 people. When I mentioned that back then, everybody was surprised. Today, you could put a lot of zeros on the end of that. Many people see us. And so, folks, it's important to really recognize these things. And I think of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, where it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And Father, I do pray that you'll give every one of us, as pastors and others, generally speaking, Christians all across this nation, to walk circumspectly and not be a fool as to what's going on in the world today, but to stand up for biblical truth and live out that truth to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Gary. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Go to the website, standinthegapradio.com. Pick up this archive program and send it to your friends. Mark Lerner from constitutionalalliance.org, thank you for being with us today. Great information. And ladies and gentlemen, take this information, apply it, use it. Don't run in fear, but run to God. Inform your friends. Tell them about who Jesus Christ is and the freedom that is there.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit standinthegapradio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.